Hello and welcome back to the Supercoach Champions podcast. This is the round 18 late mail edition. You're here with Catfish as always, and we're back. We missed last week, but that's all good. Not much happened anyway, right? Round 17, bit of a non-event, judging by our scores anyway. But look, round 18, still not quite a full cast on board, some key outs, but all the fun and games of the Origin backup roulette is in full swing, basically. Thankfully, had a chance to chat with NRL Physio, so I'm going to play that shortly. And unfortunately, this week, just unable to coordinate, but not able to get Wacker's Whispers. So just in the interest of being able to get this out in time, I've had to go without. I'll still try based on the information I've seen out there, and I'll try to make a key summary of the important players that we need to keep an eye out for. But yeah, unfortunately, not Wacker's Whispers, so not as reliable as usual. In terms of the mail we can offer up in the late mail edition, but we'll still give it a go. And we'll wrap it up with the Twitter questions for the week as sponsored by Carl McGrath Accounting. So without further ado, let's jump straight into it.
What's the matter? Haven't you ever seen a football injury before, you wimps? Let's go.
All right, welcome back to the podcast. The NRL physio himself, Brian Sini, here to catch us up with the Origin wash-up and just key updates on a few important Supercoach players. Firstly, Brian, how good? Queensland, the start of the new dynasty, right?
That's it, mate. Probably 16 in a row incoming, so I'm looking forward to it.
Only if they stay fit. No, look, let's jump straight into it. Obviously, thankfully, not too many injuries, but the big one, Val Holmes, we all saw him get up in a lot of pain after that tackle, didn't return in the second half. So I think you tweeted out AC joint, most likely, and that unfortunately is something we've heard quite a bit lately. But
yeah, definitely.
What's your thoughts on how long he'll be out for and whether he's a trade-out or not?
Yeah, so I think the biggest thing is the use of the sling is always worrisome. Like back when I was covering sort of Pappenhausen's injury, when he required a sling, that's always a bit of a concern. It means it's at least a grade 2, possibly a grade 3 injury, and it also brings in the possibility for a fracture too, whether that be to the AC joint itself or the collarbone. So, I think you'd probably want, if you've got him in your team, you'd want to wait for hopefully further clarification from the Cowboys if it's a fracture or not. If it's a fracture, it's an easy one. He's a trade out because it'll be at least 6 weeks. If it isn't a fracture, though, as we've seen, with the likes of Tohu Harris and Chad Townsend named this week, both guys who suffered higher grade AC joint injuries, guys can come back pretty quickly. So usually in that kind of 2 to 4 week range. So it can seem pretty nasty, but it is something that can be needled up and played through. I'd say with the fact of how much pain he was in and the fact he needed a sling, I'd be more leaning towards the 4 week side of that range. So you're still probably without him for at least a couple of weeks. But yeah, unless you're flush with trades, it might be someone that you hang on to for a couple of weeks and see how his recovery is going.
And I think you've said in the past, in terms of return to play, like there's not going to be any likelihood of impact on his performance given he's a fullback, so he doesn't probably need to make too many tackles. But I think there is, if I'm not mistaken, there's still a chance of re-injury if he cops a knock in the wrong position. But I think that's pretty normal for most injuries, isn't it?
That's exactly right. I wouldn't be, if they came out and said he's expected back next week, I'd expect him to be, all systems go. It might, obviously there's that higher risk of aggravation there, but it's not much, like not enough for me to be like, oh yeah, I'm trading him out, where there are some other injuries where it would be that case.
All right, that's great information there. Aside from that, I don't think there was anything else. There was some rumours of Brian To'o apparently limping around the field post-game. And I think while he's doing the victory lap, so there are some question marks, although he does play on the Sunday, so that gives him a bit of a longer turnaround. But you said before off air, you didn't notice anything during the game, and it might have just been a knock that he just played through because it was Origin, whereas he may have come off if it was a club game.
That's right. Yeah, I think the biggest thing for people to sort of be aware of moving forward is it's just you have to be very flexible over the next 24 to 48 hours because Origins it's the game more than any other game where majority of injuries I'll pick up during the game where I'll, you know, see a mechanism and be like, yep, because the players come off or whatnot. But in Origin, guys just don't come off. They don't come off as much. They stay on because it's Origin. They want to play through and finish the game. I mean, Nathan Cleary is a perfect example of that. So guys will stay on and play through. So the next 24 to 48 hours is going to be really important because clubs will, you know, players will get back to clubs. They'll get medical assessments. They'll have scans, those kind of things. So just keep an eye out, whether it be on, you know, my page or you know, club pages or anything like that. Because, yeah, they're usually more often than not is a few injuries that pop up in the next couple of days after an Origin game just because players play through them.
Awesome. So, yeah, definitely keep an eye out for that. Just to, I guess, you know, we talked about Val Holmes and his AC joint. You mentioned Tohu Harris. Let's go to him. Named on the extended bench, this is, from what I understand, 2 weeks since his injury. And I think you tweeted out earlier as potentially a 2 to 4 week injury, a return to play. So, I mean, do you see him as a potential late inclusion this week? And if so, would you have any doubts putting him into your lineup?
Yeah, so I think he's definitely a chance. As I said, AC joint injuries respond really, really well to pain-killing injections and they'll, you know, pad it up with some, you know, foam over the top and stuff like that. The biggest thing with Tohu is his role as a middle forward or, you know, as an edge slash middle forward. Lots of tackles, lots of hit-ups, you know, those kind of things. So I think he's definitely a chance for this week. I was like Holmes, I was kind of thinking he'd more be that 3 to 4 weeks rather than a 2 weeks. Purely because of his role, but in saying that, I mean, this is the thing with these decisions. It's so multifactorial in that the Warriors are really struggling, right? And they need their best players out on the park, so they might be pushing him back. I'm probably not super confident on him hitting, you know, massive statistical heights this week because it's so quick. We see with guys who come back from AC joint injuries, the first couple of weeks that they're back there, statistical output is usually down a little bit. The big thing for me, I've got Tohu in my side. You know, he averages mid-70s. If he drops 10 points, he's still mid-60s, which is still a, you know, a start on the bench for me. So I'll if he's named this week, I'll still be starting him over, say, like, I think my choice is him or Josh Schuster. I'll probably be starting him over Josh Schuster. But, I mean, if you've got somebody else who you would rely on to maybe score 70, I'd go with them over Tohu.
And I guess it's a pretty tough matchup as well. And we've seen a lot of teams in all various positions struggle against the Panthers. So that's probably something else to think about there. Moving on to other couple of key names. And speaking of the Panthers, obviously Cleary, Luai, everyone wants to know when they're back. What's your thoughts on, you know, how they're tracking?
Yeah, so they're both reportedly aiming for around 20, which is pretty much bang on what was expected for both. I think, you know, there's been, and you know how the media likes to get a hold of things and say Nathan Cleary's returning early and, you know, defying all the expectations and stuff. But round 20 will be a 5 week return to play for Cleary, which 5 to 6 weeks is always pretty standard. That was going to be where he would more than likely come back. The longer they leave him, the better. So I've sort of said at different stages that it wouldn't surprise me if it leaks out to round 21, 22, just to give him that extra week or two. But round 20 is perfectly conceivable. The big thing with him is risk of re-injury. It's anywhere from, you know, the best case scenario is probably 20% re-injury rate, but it can get up to 60, 70%, and that's in professional athletes in contact sport. So we're not talking, you know, regular Joe Blows who play park footy. We're talking, you know, the top of the top. They do just re-dislocate their shoulder, unfortunately. So, yeah, for him, he was an easy sell for me. I'm not even really looking to get him back in. The only reason I would get him back in, if there's anyone out there who's saving trades for him, is if you have an extra trade to trade him out if he re-pops his shoulder out. I think that's the only kind of responsible way you can bring him back in because that risk is so high. If it re-dislocates again in round 23, you know, you're without, you got $1 million on the sideline for round 24, 25, which could absolutely kill you. And then, yeah, Luai, minimal concerns. He should be back around round 20 and the re-injury risk is quite low.
Good to know. And for those of us low on trades, we might feel a little bit better about trading Cleary out if we don't have to think about getting him back in.
yeah, it's hard because the big thing is if he does come back, his performance shouldn't be, you know, too down because he doesn't rely on it too much. But yeah, it's just that re-injury risk. It's just huge. And I mean, he might get through the end of the season and absolutely kill it, but the odds, you know, aren't in his favour to do that. So if he does it, he's doing it against the odds, which, you know, that's what we try and bake into our Supercoach decisions.
That's it. That's exactly how we work through those things. A couple of last two players, I guess, Harry Grant, firstly. I think he's not quite at full training yet. And he's, what I think you said, he's about 4 weeks post hamstring strain re-injury. So when do you expect him back?
Yeah, look, still rehab running apparently, so not due to join team training till next week. Once again, that's to be expected. It's a hamstring strain re-injury, so he's re-injured the same hamstring. They're always going to take it more carefully with those kind of injuries in terms of a return to play time. So I like they're saying he might be back next week. I'd be more inclined to think it'd be that round 20. Kind of range next week. If he's only just joining team training next week, they might rush him back. But I mean, look, as we've spoken about with the Storm, they're one of those teams in the comp that just don't need to do that, especially with their big players. Look at Pappenhausen. They're probably going to do the same with Grant. They can take their time. So yeah, with Grant, look, he might not be back till around 20, and he's another one. Look, for the first 2 weeks that he's back, the risk is quite high. So he's another one I'm not, with the risk being there, I'm not kind of, you know, desperado targeting him at this stage, because I wouldn't be surprised if they manage his minutes to try and decrease his fatigue and stuff like that. So yeah, he's another gun who, with only, you know, 7 weeks left in the season, I'm not overly, you know, devastated if I can't get him back into my side.
It's just so hard, right? Because he's shown even if he plays 50 minutes, he can still put up 80 to 100 points.
Yep.
Which, compared to the other hookers, aside from Brandon Smith, the Cheese managed to score 80 in about 35 minutes the other week too. So it's just the Storm. Bloody amazing.
I think that's probably a good point. If you've got the Cheese, I'd bank on holding him for the rest of the year. Like, I see the Cheese as a really good hooker for the rest of the year.
I really regret not jumping on him for round 13 coverage now, even though I told a heap of people on this very podcast to do so, but story of my season. Great advice, but didn't take it from my own team.
Yeah, that's right.
Speaking of great advice, no, not really. Ryan Pappenhausen. Oh, gosh. Good old Ryan. I'm clearly his number one fanboy. I don't think anyone else has held him the whole time the way I have. So, Ryan, I got your back. But when is he coming back, mate?
Yeah, mate. I mean, we've had a few chats about it. It's just a situation I'm not super happy about in terms of, look, obviously it's fantastic that the Storm are taking it nice and gradual with him. He's now down to a point where he's still dealing with some neck issues that are causing headaches or that they suspect are causing headaches and different things. And look, with the tackle that caused it, I mean, there's probably some people listening who've had car accidents and had whiplash, you know, cause, like, I see people every day who've been in motor vehicle accidents suffering persistent headaches because of that whiplash effect from the car accident. So it's probably a similar kind of thing here, and that he's still got a little bit of work to do around the neck. He is doing some light contact work, and it's hoped that he'll move into full contact next week. But look, he's another one, I hate to say it, Wilf, but he's another one I'm not, like, you know, he's an absolute gun. He's my favourite player. Him and probably Turbo, two favourite players in the comp. So I love seeing him back out there, and it'll kill me not to have him in my side. But he's just another one who, if he cops a blow to the head, it, like, you know, it's more than likely season over. Like, and that kind of risk for me is just probably a bit too much considering the trade situation that I'm in. If I had 15 trades left, I'd for sure be chasing him because of how good he is. But he's another one I'd want to see him get through at least two or three games, and he's probably not back till at least next week. So puts you at like round 21-ish, and then does he get rested in round 25? It's a situation. I mean, I'm glad you're dealing with it and I'm not. I'll put it that way.
Yeah, fair call. I'd have to say, surely he doesn't get rested in round 25 if he's had this much time off. So that's all I'm hanging on to.
You certainly hope so.
I'm just hoping I'm the only Pappenhausen owner in round 25 because everyone else has stayed off him.
And that's the other thing too. There has been, I think Brent Reed wrote an article that there's some talk that he's going to return from the bench as well. So, yeah, it's just, not a fun time to be a Pappenhausen owner, unfortunately.
No, not at all. Although I think I haven't read the article in full, but the snippets I was sent – I think he made that summary just based off the fact that Slater returned from his shoulder injury a while back.
Okay, there you go. So
I think it's slightly
different. Hopefully that's all it is. Yeah.
Fingers crossed. Cheers again, mate, for jumping on. It's always great to chat. And good luck for the rest of your season.
No worries, mate. Talk to you soon.
You've got mail, baby. Yeah.
All right, so I'm definitely not wacko, and I'm only just piecing together all that I've read from various sources online, but I'll give my best shot at trying to deliver some of the mail on the more popular and Supercoach related players. So for the Titans at this stage, it's expected that all three of their Origin stars in AJ Brimson, Fotoweka and Fasua Malawi will back up, but there's a chance that Mofo and Tino will start from the bench. And that will obviously see the likes of maybe Peachy or Jamin Jolliffe or someone like that play. Fifita, obviously, good to go and should be good to play big minutes as expected. On the Eel side, we already know that Junior Paulo is going to be rested, and I think Niokore is the one starting at prop, and Will Smith's come onto the bench, who probably is there to provide backup to Reid Marnie. I think Moses, no injuries, and at this stage should be playing, but I think they're going to obviously go through final, walkthroughs and stuff like that before confirmation. No other concerns for the Eels at this stage. For the Seagulls, obviously Tommy Turbo already, omitted from the squad, so he will not be playing. Ruben Garrick will move to fullback. At this stage, DCE, their other Origin rep, he should be playing. And no chat anyway that he's not going to be playing. Schuster has been cleared to return from that calf injury. There's still, I guess, a potential that he may not start. That's the big question mark here. And so keep a close eye on final team lists for there, because obviously Schuster has had a bit of an injury cloud for quite some time. And otherwise, for the Dragons, obviously they've got a lot of issues, but they obviously do still have Ben Hunt and Tariq Sims, who played Origin, both injury-free. You'd expect, given how shorthanded they are, if they're fit, they're playing. So I would be shocked if they're not playing. And otherwise, I think that's probably it for their Origin players. For the Cowboys, obviously no Val Holmes. He's gone for a month based on the latest information. So that might see the same reshuffle as last time with Scotty Drinkwater to fullback and Dejan Azi to 5'8 on the left side. And otherwise, I think the Hammer and Francis Molo should be playing, provided there's no concerns that they didn't seem to have any injuries. There's a chance if Molo does play, he might come off the bench, obviously, with minutes being managed. Otherwise, no other question marks there. So with the Roosters, obviously, big news, Teddy confirmed to be rested now, despite, I think, Trent Robinson was playing a bit of silly buggers there, saying he should be good to go. But Angus Crichton didn't play very many minutes, so he should be good to go, you'd expect, for this game. And with Teddy out, Joey Manu back to fullback, and I think Billy Smith coming straight back in at left center, and Josh Morris might move to right center as well. Interestingly, I think Sam Walker he's always been in doubt every single week, but for once, there doesn't seem to be any chat that he's not going to play, so he should be a certain starter, which is important for that Roosters team. On to the next game, which is the Raiders and the Sharks. At this stage, the Raiders look set to be as named, with both Josh Papali'i and Jack Whiten injury-free, and they should back up. They might do a late swap of Papa to the bench and starting one of the other guys like Soliola or Ryan James even. No other expectations of other last-minute changes. On the Sharks side, they didn't have any Origin reps, so it should be good to go. Although, we might see a similar swap to last week with Talakai starting on the right edge and Nikora might start on the bench. And otherwise, I think the only question mark I think they had was Aaron Woods. He was possibly not playing or not able to come into the bubble or whatever it is that they were trying to work out. because he was possibly going to have to go to the birth of his baby, but at this stage it looks like he's travelled and he should be playing. And the Storm and the Knights, obviously the Storm have a number of Origin players in Munster, Kafusi, Finucane, Christian Welsh and Adokar as well. Nico Hines obviously was also 18th man and wasn't required, so he's good to go. At this stage, there should be no... I think everyone should be playing. There is some potential that Adokar might not play, though, because it looked like he copped a pretty heavy hit. And if that's the case, then you'd assume, I think, Aramir's on the bench and he might just come straight onto the left wing. We might also see Welsh come off the bench, potentially, with maybe like a Kamikamitha starting at prop instead. On the Knight side, Ponga made it through alive and not injured for once. There was chat that he planned to play for this game, pending, obviously, making it through Origin. So no doubt there'll be final checks and stuff like that for him as well. But I think they wanted to play. They need to get him on the park and give him the best shot there. There was some late chat about Mitch Pearce apparently injuring his hamstring at training. So keep a big eye on that. There's a chance, obviously, that may see Clifford to halfback and Watson into the six. And, I mean, the other option is there. They've got on the extended bench, they've got Simi Sasangi and Tex Hoy. So Hoy, obviously, a fullback. And Sasangi was playing centre earlier, but he is a 5'8", I believe. So, yeah, I'd expect Watson to go into the halves, which is not great given the matchups this Storm. But, yeah. I think Dan Saifidi's still got that rib issue. At this stage, he missed Origin for it, but he was meant to play. But that'll just be dependent, I guess, on how his pain tolerance level is. Then for the Warriors and the Panthers, next game there. So the Warriors, they don't have any Origin reps to be worried about there, but they are still, you know, they've got Townsend and Tohu Harris on the extended bench. Obviously, if they're fit, I think they're going to rush them in because the Warriors need to win ASAP. I would assume there's some fitness tests on Saturday, so keep an eye out for captain's run as usual. If assuming they're fit, then I reckon Townsend in for O'Sullivan and Tohu Harris straight to lock or even off the bench maybe. And you'd assume someone like Evans would drop out. I think that's pretty much it. There was also some chat about DWZ apparently have to, he may not make the game or something like that, or he was going to miss the birth of his third child, so I'm not sure what's going on there, but if he's travelled, I think he's going to be there, so we'll find out at captain's run, no doubt. For the Panthers, obviously, a fair few Origin stars there with To'o, Coruscant, Capewell and Yeo, and also Liam Martin. So again, captain's run is going to determine what's going to happen here. There are a lot of rumours about To'o limping around during the victory lap after the game, so big watch on whether he's going to be fit to play. Dylan Edwards should also be back from this one, so they might decide with, you know, some stars back like that, To'o could have a week off. There's also the chance of Momorowski apparently is fit now, so they might decide to put him in and either replace Naden, or if To'o's going to have a week off, then Naden will stay on the wing and Momorowski will come in. So I think that's pretty much it for those teams. And then the Broncos and the Tigers. So the Broncos obviously do have some Origin players in Payne Haas, Flegler and Xavier Coates. Again, captain's run Saturday. I'd expect Haas to play, honestly, and Flegler didn't get very many minutes, and Coates should be okay too, given the long turnaround time. Katoni Staggs was a bit of a concern. Apparently he did a minor hamstring strain, so there's a question as to whether he'll play. But at the stage, I think he's expected to play, barring any sort of, you know, last minute being ruled out at the captain's run. So, yeah, big watch of that. And I think I'd stay off him anyway. You can't risk it. And then on the Tigers side, they obviously didn't end up having any Origin reps this time around, I don't think, if I'm not mistaken there. So they should be 1-17 with the debutant Pauga, expected to play left centre, I think. So if Staggs plays, that'll be a tough one. And I think they've also got Tuki Simpkins coming off the bench for his debut. And I think you probably would have seen Joey Leilua didn't make it to Queensland. He didn't travel with the team. So safe to say he's not playing anytime soon. In the final game of the week, the Rabbitohs and the Bulldogs, obviously a fair few Origin players too, and Latrell Mitchell, Damien Cook, Cam Murray and Dane Gagai, all, you know, obviously they made it through unscathed, but given the way Bennett is, he may decide to rest them. It's the Bulldogs after all. So if they are rested, then you'd assume the likes of Blake Tough, Mamazelos, Jed Cartwright, Brendan Burns, they're all on standby there. I think from memory, Latrell was the only one who backed up, and he had a pretty quiet game either way. So, yeah, they might, again, give them a week off. So I'd be planning as if they weren't playing and then having an option to pivot away. But no doubt we'll find out more when the squads are cut on Saturday. Then on the Bulldogs side, no, I wouldn't expect any changes. But, you know, who knows? They might reshuffle that pack again. And I think that's pretty much it. So that is not Wacko's Whispers. That's my attempt at late mail. It's not very good, is it? So yeah, hopefully Wacko back on board as usual next week.
I want to ask you a bunch of questions. I want to have them answered immediately.
The segment is brought to you by Carl McGrath Accounting. Tax time is just around the corner. Get Carl to do your tax return and he'll legally maximise your tax refund. No job's too big or too small. He doesn't just do tax returns, he does also any bookkeeping and accounting work for individuals, small businesses and self-managed super funds. Carl, he's a small business owner. You'll be speaking directly with him and he'll also be the one who does your work. No work's done overseas or done by junior staff. He manages it all himself. And it doesn't matter where you are in Australia, Carl's able to help you out. He can use FaceTime, Zoom, any sort of other video conferencing software. He can help you out with things such as maximizing COVID work from home deductions, rental properties or capital gains from the sale of a property, shares or cryptocurrency trading. And for listeners of the Supercoach Champions podcast, Carl has a special offer of $99 for a basic tax return. Even if your tax return is a bit more complicated, just mention you're a listener and he'll look after your price. Search for Carl McGrath Accounting on Facebook, or you can find him at Carl M Accountant on Twitter. But look, don't just take my word from it. Let me read to you this message that I received from one of our listeners, from Jai Dhoni. Sorry if I butchered your name there, but at JD_Twill. Morning Wolf, just wanted to give you a quick heads up that I used Carl McGrath Accountant for my wife and my tax returns. He did a great job, was really quick, kept us up to date on the process and gave us some advice on tax moving forward with some of the changes we've got going on. He was absolutely fantastic, so thanks for the referral. Mate, that is a glowing review if I've ever read one. And one, it proves that people do listen to our podcast. And two, that Carl indeed is a top bloke, loves his super coach, and also knows what he's talking about when it comes to tax. So make sure you check it out, Carl McGrath Accounting. And thank you again to Carl for sponsoring the segment. So straight into your questions. First one comes in from at PabloBill73. Champion, second opinion on who to trade to Fifita, CHN or Lucy. I'm leaning CHN with the Tigers run home and playing Lucy as a backup or on matchups. Other second row forwards are Angus Tohu Tino, who he's holding for DPP cover with Isaiah Papali'i in front row forward, plus Tupini slash Enough. Oh, I guess he's Enoughed out. That's what you mean there, I think. He's just hanging on to the top 1,000 spot at the moment. So firstly, congrats on the rank. Yeah, look, I'm with you. Trade out to CHN. Lucy, as you pointed out, obviously his role is secure. He's got the good draw. CHN, you know, for all his attacking upside, you know, Sticky's been banging on about missed tackles, and CHN has repeatedly been one of the worst defenders for that. So that's got me a little bit spooked. In fact, I'm actually thinking about whether I trade out CHN or hang on to Barnett as my fourth or fifth second row forward. So yeah, I would be with you on that one. I'd trade out CHN. Next one comes in from at JohnLett17. Who to trade out to get David Fifita in? Pangai, Welsh, CHN or Barnett? You can do Pangai and Greg Mazu out for Fifita and nothing with $100 left. Any word of Pangai will play again this season? So suspension is up in round 20, I believe, and that's when he's available for selection. And look, he'll play again this year. It's just a question of whether that's still at the Broncos. And if he's still at the Broncos, I'd be confident he'd be very playable and, you know, in the top two or three front row forwards, given the difficulty in that position. But if he's moved teams, we just don't know where he goes. So I'd probably hang on to Pangai just because of the potential that he's still a top two or three front row forward if he doesn't move. And look, I don't know what your front row forward setup is, but I wouldn't want to have Pangai, Welsh, and, you know, I assume you have Isaiah Papali'i or someone like that that's probably too much sitting around in your front row forward. So I wouldn't be opposed to trading out Welsh, because I think he's probably going to be one of the guys who will get rested if the Storm are comfortably up, or as well if they're, you know, locked in for first or second, and, you know, they can afford to give him a week off because he's been playing Origin. So I see him as a potential sell. And if you want someone in second row, then, yeah, look, I'm really leaning towards CHN out over Barnett, as frustrating as Barnett is, especially with this stuff going on with the Pierce hamstring concern. Like, if he's out for a week or two, if not longer, because there might be a re-aggravation or whatever, then if Watson moves to six, then honestly, Barnett could end up, you know, getting some bigger minutes at lock. So kind of leaning that way. All right, next question comes in from at George Fataris. With limited trade, second fullback for head-to-head finals, Teddy, Pappenhausen or Ponga? He's worried if Pappenhausen returns, he'll get rested for the last round, which is obviously the SC grand final. Thoughts? I think if you are worried about round 25 restings, then if you don't expect to have any trades left, I mean, as a head-to-head player, I'd be ensuring I had at least one trade, if not two, for your grand final. So to me, I would ideally want to go with Pappenhausen and keep that trade spare. But if you don't need to trade him in this week, like, obviously you can't get Pappenhausen this week, so I kind of just would just wait and see and watch how that all shakes out. If you had to get someone this week, then I would lean Ponga, just because price, and, you know, he's got that great matchup. And if there is, like, I see him as less likely of being rested in round 25, because Knights are probably fighting it out to lock in that top eight spot come end of season. So that's why I've got him probably, if you want to guarantee that he's playing round 25, short of injuring, I reckon Ponga will be playing. Teddy could get rested. Pappenhausen obviously could get rested. But yeah, ideally Pappenhausen with the trade in hand to potentially trade him out. But obviously it depends how limited you are. Next question's from Wolgie at Gisikis. Eight trades left. Feel I'll get stitched up if I go Brayley to Brandon Smith, because Grant will be back soon. So thinking either Tino or Pangai to Isaiah Papali'i this week. Which one? Also, I still have Ryan James and Spencer Leniu AEing as reserve props. Do I use trades enough or just cop it? So I guess I would probably trade out Tino over Pangai, just again because Pangai has shown his top two, top three front row forward upside. And again, barring him ending up at a different team, I think if he's back and playing for the Broncos in round 20, he'll go back to the same role and he'll be a definite option, regardless of whether he's at lock on edge or whatever. So I would go that way. And I mean, I'm really tempted to enter to nuff out Leniu myself and just free up that 70K or so for future trades. And I've only got five trades left. So with eight, I reckon you could. But this does depend on how, like, how fleshed out the team is for you outside of this. Because honestly, I could nuff out Leniu and basically not make any other trades. Like, everything else in my team is set effectively. It may not be the ideal players that I've got, but I don't necessarily have to trade out, and I'd be keeping the rest of my trades for injuries only. So I guess it depends how complete your team is. If you are needing at least another two or three of those eight trades to finalize your team, then I probably wouldn't bother nuffing out Leniu or Ryan James. Next question comes in from NRSC Sponge, who appears to have worked out how to amend his Twitter handle, so he's now at Ben with no number. So thoughts on Pauga? I assume this is a junior Pauga from the Tigers. As a cheap player, if he holds the spot well, Tigers have a great run. If he nuffs out, even better. Think of going Saab and Ricky to Fida and Pauga, or even Savage maybe. Thoughts? So I'm assuming you need to play Pauga this week. And if that's the case, look, against the Broncos, I don't mind it, honestly. He's only played four games in the Intrust Super Cup at the moment, and he's played four games in the centres. He's scored four tries. He's got three try assists, three line breaks, and he's averaging five or six tackle breaks every single game. So he's that type of tackle busting type of, you know, kind of similar to Patrick Herbert, I think, the way I'm reading it, based on how he used to, you know, Herbert used to absolutely be a tackle busting gun in the Reggies. So I kind of think, you know, he's got a similar kind of profile. Looks like he gets through a fair bit of work with his run meters, generally between like 113 to 176, a good chunk of those are post contact. He's got only three offloads and they were all in the same game. So I don't think he's a massive offloader, but the tackle bust seemed to be there. Not a huge work rate in tackles and things like that, so that might be an issue. But look, it doesn't seem like he's going to be like a low work rate type of guy. So if you wanted to take a punt on him, I don't hate it. I'd probably lean him over Savage just because of the, you know, the stats we're seeing here. And I guess with Savage, you know, there's a chance he nuffs out anyway once Simo's back, if Savage doesn't show enough to hold that spot at fullback. So yeah, I don't mind that. Next question comes in from Tom at Tom Numbers. I have 8 trades left after trades this week. So his trade dilemma is, would you trade Barnett to Fifita, Fergo to Dom Young, and he'll bench Young this week? If not Young, any other centre wing suggestions value 300k or less? Or alternatively, Harris to Fifita, Nikarima to Duehi, or Tupanua to Milne, as well as Barnett to Fifita. So one, I won't trade out Tohu Harris. I actually quite like Barnett to Fifita and Fergo to Dom Young. I understand the appeal of Young, and the only question I have about Young is what happens once Bradman Best, who should be back around round 20, once he returns. So does he replace Tuala at left center, or does Tuala move up onto the wing and Young's the one who drops out? That's the only question mark I have there. Otherwise, I do like the Young play. So I don't, yeah, like I said, I don't want to trade out Tohu. I don't hate the Nikarima to Duehi, like I spoke about. I'm quite keen on Duehi as a bit of a pod option this week at 5'8". But yeah, Tupanua to Milne, again, I don't hate it, but I prefer probably just hanging on to Tupanua if that's the case. So yeah, back your gut on Young. If you know any further mail about whether he's going to hold his spot for certain or anything like that, then if he is, then I definitely would lean that side. Next question comes in from Dave Hooper at DHooper19. Tessie New, a downgrade option for Val, allows me to upgrade to David Fifita in the second row forward. Look, like with Holmes being out for 4 weeks, like that's not ideal. So I think he's definitely a sell. Like there's no guarantee even once he's back that he's going to be, you know, killing it straight away because of all the things we've talked about in the past with AC joints and things like that. But Tessie New, it's a bit of a risk. I know he's looked good the last couple of weeks and he's got some pretty friendly matchups on the run home, but there are still some tough games in there for the Broncos. So if Tessie's like your sixth center wing or something like that, then I don't mind it at all. I think he'll be a great pod to have to be able to play on certain matchups. It just depends how deep your center wing is. Like if Tessie's your top four, I probably wouldn't go that way. I'd look to someone who's a bit more reliable and, you know, plays for a better team, basically. All right, next question is from Peter McDermott at Seagull Pete. Hi, champ. 2 options to get to Fifita. Guffo with 1 trade or Lodge Liam Knight and Barnett to Fifita. May just hold and get next week and Barnett to Haas. I don't get the Lodge Liam Knight trade there, so I also think Guffo is a good keep for this week. Better if Mitch Moses misses, so Guffo gets the goal kicking. But if you don't have to get Fifita this week, I guess you can just hold and then reassess and see what happens next. I mean, if Guffo is not in your final 17, you're going to eventually get rid of him anyway, then I don't hate it. I don't get the Liam Knight part there, basically. So, yeah, I mean, if you want, just chuck up your team and I'll see what I might be able to work out for you there. This question comes in from Mark at Mark Numbers. Current hookers are Watson and Simpkin. Replacing Simpkin with Hunt, Appy or Marnie. Money not really an issue. As much as Ben Hunt, I think he's playing great, but I'm worried about the Dragons at the moment. They're quite depleted. They will be for the next couple of weeks. And who knows, like there could be some kind of lingering flow-on effects with everything that's going on with that club at the moment. And the loss of Vaughan actually is a pretty big, I think. He'd really come into a bit of form the last couple of weeks, which coincided with Hunt doing quite well. So, I mean, one of the tries that Hunt scored recently was off of Vaughan offload. So I wonder if that kind of caps Hunt's upside. So to me, he seems the most risky. As good of the form he's in himself, I'm worried about the team. Appy, I think, will be a solid option, but he has shown himself to be a little, you know, doesn't mind an injury or two. And Marnie, I think Marnie's might be the safest option here, but it's just we don't know how he's going to be used. I see that Will Smith, I think, has been added to the bench with Junior Paulo getting a rest this week. So I wonder if Smith ends up being, you know, a bench hooker for 15, 20 minutes to give Marty a break as he eases back. So I think Marty, for the rest of the season, I think would probably outscore the other two, but it's a tough one. I think you're going to have to back your gut on that. Hopefully I've set out a couple options or thoughts there to help you with that one. All right, next one comes in from Aman Talks NRL SC. If you haven't checked out that podcast, look it up. He does a great job, and it's obviously him talking through, and he's also on YouTube. He's got videos there, so definitely check that one out. So he's dropped in a question: is it worth nothing a solid depth guy like Welsh to get Fifita for Barnett, or hold the move for next week via Hines if Pappenhausen is back? I guess my question to you there is, if you're going to use Hines, then how do you get Pappenhausen? Like, obviously, you're not getting him straight away. You're going to wait for that. I mean, a lot of people just planning to go straight from Hines to Paps, basically, once he's back. So that's the first thing I'd ask there. As for the first part, though, if it's worth nothing out of solid depth guy like Welsh, I mean, yeah, I'd do whatever it takes to get Fifita, basically. I'd prefer to have him this week. And, you know, if Barnett or Welsh, they're not making your top 17 anyway, then I'd be happy to move them on, because I think Fifita will be worth it, basically. I think, like, this does depend on your setup, obviously. If you've got no depth at all, then I'd try add front row forward, and Welsh is one of your top two, or maybe even your third front row forward. I'd probably prefer to be able to find someone else to nuff instead. But if Welsh is like your fourth, then yeah, he's very easily dispensable for Fifita there, as is Barnett. It's just it's such a massive upgrade to get Fifita in, basically. And I guess to jump down to our deep long stop, who basically same question, except he's got CHN and Matto there. Again, look, I think Fifita's worth it, basically. You know, it's a bit misleading sometimes just looking at straight averages, but he's a good 15, 20 points ahead of all these other guys, basically. So it's a no-brainer for me. It's worth Fifita for sure. All right, next question comes in from Bring Back Teddy at Lucas Numbers. Hey guys, who out of Junior Paulo and Panga would you keep for the run home as the third front row forward? The other will turn into Payne Haas this week. Look, I think I'm leaning towards Panga. As much as Paulo, you know, certainly has the Supercoach potential, he hasn't delivered and he gets rested. He's rested this week. I know Panga's obviously not playing either, but just in terms of ceiling, like, Panga's showing even with some lower scores, and, you know, he's still got the second highest average at front row forward. So, yeah, that's how I'd lean. Next question comes in from Brendan Venton at Defense, one of our champs. Thoughts on Nova for the run home? My center wing would be Garrick, Alex Johnston, To'o, Tupou Best, who's he's very faithfully held on to, and then Nova with Naf is six. Center wing options too many. I love that. I'd do that if I had Nofa as my sixth center wing, basically, because the matchups, he's got the ceiling. He's got some great, you know, like, if he goes off against the Bulldogs like he did last year, that could be two 120 scores coming your way. Yeah, I love it. That's great. Six center wings is fine. I got seven right now. Although, I don't know, do you count Sione Katoa as a center wing at the moment? He's a bit of a nuff, isn't he? Next question is from We the Proud Up the Broncos that lives and bums, our two-time Swish winner, an absolute legend, and again, one of our champs. So he's looking at Holmes to Dwayhe this week, and then he's going to flip Schuster to Ponga or Paps next week. Thoughts? I don't mind that. Hey, I don't think Schuster is going to be a season-long hold. I just have questions about his minutes and how things will look once, you know, Jake's back, and if Curtis Sirenin's still alive and he comes back too. Yeah, I would much prefer to run home with Dwayhe and one of Ponga and Paps than Schuster and anybody else, basically. So yeah, I love it. All right, a couple more questions. Next one comes in from Lake at Adam D Numbers. 9 trades left, Wolf. 20K in the bank, 455 overall. Congrats on the rank. He's got Olokuatu from Manly in his side as he traded out Tohu last week. Also has Tupanua in his second row. So wants to know if he should keep or hold, or whether he should downgrade Graham. I'm assuming that's Campbell Graham to Nofaluma or Tupou to free up a bit of cash, even though the Bunnies run is good, or no trades this week. So thoughts? I think with 9 trades and you've still got to get some of these guys back, I think I wouldn't mind trading. I don't know if I'd downgrade Campbell Graham though, because obviously you backed him for a reason. He's got that Bunnies run. It's great. Like, yeah, I probably wouldn't ditch Graham at this stage. I love Tupou, I love Nofo, but I think it doesn't seem worth it unless you've got other guys you could ditch. As for whether you want to keep Tupanua, you've got Olakuatu. I mean, what was your plan to get back Tohu Harris later? Or, I mean, I'm assuming you've got Dave Fifita and Angus Crichton with the other two. So, yeah, I think it just depends on what your plans are for, you know, getting back Tohu later. Like, if you're going to trade Tohu back, if he's back next round, then Tupanua to him or even Olakuatu to him, either of them are pretty good pods, basically, to have as your fourth, second rower. So I don't really mind who you want to ditch. So I think Tupanua probably scores quite well this week, but so does Olakuatu. I know I'm not really helping, but it's hard to know when you don't really see your team. So if you feel like you feel comfortable dropping it in the comments there, then I can have another look later and respond. But yeah, I honestly think, you know, trading is good with nine left, but obviously you don't want to burn it for no reason. And next question comes in from Andrew at Sydney Kiwi 1. Hi Wilfred, would you trade Brayley before Little? How key is Crichton if you already have, say, Brandon Smith, Tohu Harris and CHN in your second row forward and will be bringing in Fifita? So FYI, he's got Hunt and Little / Brayley at hooker after trades this week, and his front row forward will be Pangai, Isaiah Papali'i, Fanua Blake and Ogden. One trade for CHN. All right, sorry. Having one trade plus CHN versus having Angus and his points. Look, I think Angus is important. He is shown to be, you know, when he's had good games, he's going to hit a 70-plus average easily. I think, you know, he's going to be the second best back rower behind Dave Feeder at the moment. So I would see CHN to him as a definite upgrade, and I'd be much more comfortable running home with that situation. So that's how I'd lean, although you do have pretty strong front row forwards. I don't know what your Nuff situation is in terms of swapping players around, but yeah, I'd probably think it's worth it to go CHN to Angus. Now, whether I trade Brayley or Little, that's tough. I think Little has been so hard to predict. Like, he's had good scores, but they're off the back of tries. And, you know, as much as he's a try scorer, it's, let's face it, tries aren't that common for hookers, basically. So I don't know how much he can keep it going. He could with the Tigers draw, but yeah, at least with Brayley, you know what's going to happen there. He's going to get big minutes, if not 80. And the Knights have a pretty good draw too, so he could be quite integral to setting up some of the points as well. I think it's just going to come down to a gut call. I feel like Brayley's safer than Little, because whilst Little's scores have been pretty good, I don't know, like, I watched him and I just don't think he's that great for the Tigers. Not that Simpkin really was that good, but I wonder if Madge gives Simpkin another shot and, you know, Little has to go to the bench or sits out for a week or two. That's my concern. So Brayley, he's one of their captains, he's a leader in that team, you know, he's nailed on. So I'd lean towards keeping Brayley over Little. And yeah, I would get Angus for sure. And also a follow-up question. Would you trade out Barnett or Curran first to bring in Fifita? Ditch Curran. That's an easy one for me. Curran, he's coming off the bench. I don't know if that's a match fitness issue, but Tohu's not there and he's still coming off the bench. Yeah, get rid of Curran. And just one last question came in from one of our champs. So this is from at Rolfie24. He's got 8 trades left. He wants Fifita, potentially looking at Tane and Milne this week as well. Who's the best trade out for Fifita out of Matto, CHN and Curran? And then also looking at Suale to Milne as a cash builder for a 6-centre wing. Definitely Curran to Fifita. That's a no-brainer to me. And I think if you wanting to get an extra centre wing, so Rolfie's got Garrick, Hines, Johnston, Campbell Graham, To'o, Suale, and Dunster. I think you got too many Rabbitohs for me to want to look at Milne for you. But having said that, you said you wanted to do it for cash. Look, I'm looking at your team and I think you've got plenty of cash, honestly. And I don't think I'd do that in particular. So I'd probably hang into that trade. I know you still got 8 trades, but I'd probably hang on to that one. And I'd rather nuff out somewhere else. So obviously I've got his team here. So he's got Simpkin, he's got Caleb Milne as nuffs already. He's also got Fui Maono still kicking about. and obviously Suwali, and he's also got Hayes Dunster. So I think between all of those names, I'd actually look at nothing else for Fuimaono and trying to free up that coin there and then use that towards, future trades. And that's, I think I'd do that instead of going for Milne from Suwali. Even if you go Fuimaono to Milne, that's probably a better trade, I think, than Suwali. But that's just my thoughts there. I just think with Suwali, he's not going to be there for the rest of the season, but he's got that handy dual position. And, you know, you've got Turbo and Guthrie at fullback. If you need to make a trade there for a 1 week or whatever, like, Suwali's dual position can come in handy, whereas Milne won't really be helping you out there. And instead, you know, you can go Milne, bring him down to center wing and trade out Suwali for someone else later if you needed to. So I kind of would lean that way instead. And I think that's probably it for questions. All right, so obviously, yeah, it's going to be a tough round, as always, a post-Origin. Incredibly vital to keep an eye on those team cuts. Firstly, the 19-man squad cuts, and also obviously captain's run pictures and stuff like that. No doubt Wacko will be around to tweet out as usual. I think, you know, if you're not following Wacko, make sure you're following Stylesy as well from SC Talk. He obviously does a great job as a late mailman as well. And yeah, I'd recommend making sure you're following both those guys anyway. But I think in terms of final decisions for me, I'm still 50-50. I'm either not trading at all, or I'm going to look at maybe going CHN to Adam Duehi via dual positions. I like the upside that Duehi's presented. He's got a great floor when he's playing six. I think, you know, if you look at his scores at six, he's got an average of just under 75 from eight games and low score of 25 against the Roosters. And that was his first game of the season, rather, in round two. And then his other low score was 20 against the Seagulls, which, you know, it happens from time to time. But other than that, like 61, 83, 84, those are the next lowest scores for him. So he's had a lot of involvement in attack. And if the Tigers do go on a bit of a run with this easy draw, then I expect plenty of goal kicks for him as well. And in addition, if they are going on a bit of a run and they do win some games, then you'd expect Duehi to lock down that sixth spot, so not play centre. And even if he does play centre, I mean, these were his scores recently. He had the 114 first up, 45, 83, 45, the 9 when he got hurt, and then 97 where he played half the game at centre and then the other half at 6. So hard to read into that one. But long story short, I think at the price, at the ownership, great option, and that's why I'm so tempted, even though I really shouldn't burn any of my trades, but I gotta take some risks. So that might be my only trade. The other thing is, like, I'm thinking of looking at my overall squad. You know, I've got no Nuffs in my centre wing. I've got enough in Burbo. Then I've got Kurt Louis and then Spencer Leniu, who I'm actually tempted to maybe just burn a trade to get rid of that AE risk plus free up 75 grand. And then I can obviously use that to basically just give me a bit more cash in bank. Like, I'll have 200 grand to be able to use to replace any of my squad of 22 in terms of injuries or suspensions or whatever. It just, yeah, I mean, it's hard to make trades sometimes if you've only got like 5-10 grand in the bank. So 200 grand, three trades in hand, squad of 22, pretty much all the players I want, barring Cleary and, I mean, even Val Holmes. Like, I'm not going to rush to get him now because he's out for a while. My centre wing, it's not perfect, but look, Garrick, Ikuvalu, Manu, Tupo, To'o, Jennings, and Katoa. I've got a fair few pods. I've got some high-ceiling guys. Just going to have to run with it and just cross my fingers that Alex Johnston can stop scoring and then he can revert back to the mean. But, yeah, that's me. Good luck, everyone. Like I said, make sure you keep your ear to the ground and follow all the late mail guys and make adjustments to your teams as you go. But yeah, good luck, everyone. Catch you soon.